Hey gang, this is Rob from Building the Game. I just wanted to check in with you here at the start of this show. This is a bonus episode of little mini interviews we recorded while we were at Gen Con this year. I wanted to check in with you first, though, to say I apologize for some of the poor quality. We recorded this with our new Tascam handheld recorder. It's a Tascam DR40 linear PCM recorder. It was new to us. We were trying it out for the first time for this trip. And I just thought it would be, since we're doing a documentary here, you know, we wanted to share with everybody everything, including some of the misses on top of the hits. So anyway, enjoy these short little episodes. And when you hear this sound, that'll mean we're switching over to a new recording, to a new little mini interview. So that's it. Enjoy the show.
When you're designing, because Rob and I are different about this.
Yeah.
So when you're designing, how much do you think about marketing when you're thinking of a theme?
Personally, me, almost zero.
Okay, wow. So Ben says not at all.
No.
Because I'll be honest, I think about it a ton when I'm thinking of different themes. Like I was really like cowboys. I'm like, I know cowboys are marketable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess that was a short answer to a question, but I mean, I just, what about you, Brian? I mean,
I'm mixed. I have some games where I am thinking about, like, how marketable is this, you know, how is this going to sell, but I'm kind of like, I mean, the biggest reason why I'm designing is because I really just enjoy the process of designing a game. I definitely have some themes where I'm thinking, like, okay, is this going to have that broad appeal? Is this going to be marketable? But I have other ones. Like, I've been working on a game about ants for years now. I love ants. I don't care who else loves ants. Okay? And, you know, if you see me, don't bring up ants unless you want to sit and hear about ants for a long time. So, you know, so there's always, I feel like I'm always going to have a couple games like that, you know, and maybe they'll be good. I mean, ants ants could be marketable, but
I have to say I still think Sim Ant is one of the greatest computer games of all time.
I haven't played that.
Oh, it's great. It's old. I mean, I don't even know if I'm getting it anymore, but
the reason I'm asking is just because it's something we've talked about.
Yeah.
Something, you know, we've talked about with, I mean, it's not like I wouldn't design a game because I'm like, if I design a game with zombies in it, it would sell really well. Or if I made an anime game with girls in really scantily clad clothing, I'd make $150,000 on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
There's a game doing that right now, by the way. I don't remember the name, but
Genzumi Goddess.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So
makes me so angry.
Because you see games that like look really well thought out and that are not doing well because they don't have zombies or girls in skimpy clothes. But I guess for me it's like I had a few game ideas and one of them I really want to make, and we've talked about this. I haven't pitched it yet. I'm going to pitch it in the next couple weeks on the show. And so I won't spoil it here in case we publish this. But
just build suspense.
Right. But
do you want another beer?
I'm good.
When it came down to what game I wanted to make first, I was like, I should probably try and make one of my more marketable ideas first rather than making. I guess my thing is this. If I have to self-publish, I have to do a Kickstarter.
Right.
If your first Kickstarter fails, that doesn't bode as well for your second one. However, if your first one succeeds, you now have a bunch of people who funded you, who believe in your work.
Right.
And now they might take a chance on a theme that's a little bit different. A theme that's settlers in Alaska in the 1860s, you know? I mean, that's what the theme is for that game.
I think that's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, thinking about that. You know, I mean, for me, I design games for myself. And I'm not saying that in a selfish or egotistical. I design games that I want to play. And so I design games that I think are interesting for me. I would buy the game because this is something that I like, and that's how, so I don't really think in terms of like what's going to be really marketable. I try to design games that I would think are interesting and that I would I would want to sit down and play, and that's how I think about it.
Right.
And and I'm not going to self-publish my game. I don't really have interest in doing that.
Okay.
If another, you know, a publisher will take a game, and if they think it's, if they love it, great. If they want to retheme it, that's great too. Because I'm in most of my games, I'm not like Stranded is the one, you know.
It's hard to retheme a game about that. Like Marcy's Mechanic, obviously,
yeah.
There's some obvious ways they could reskin that,
yeah.
to not be about what it's about and still
right.
capture the
right.
game.
Right.
But yeah, Stranded.
Sure.
I mean,
true.
You're in the woods with no supplies. Like, where
right.
else could you be?
Well, I mean, you could be in space with no supplies. You could be in... I mean, you could be in a lot of places
fair
with
enough.
No supplies.
Fair
so,
enough.
I mean, you could, right? And so if a publisher said to me, hey, we really like this game, but space is really big right now. Can we make it about being stranded on some foreign planet with no supplies? Yeah, okay, you can make it about that. It's like
it's
I'm not really...
It's going to be a whole series stranded in
right.
the woods, stranded in space.
So,
stranded on the moon. Stranded
yeah.
under the water.
But right, exactly. And,
expansion,
and that's,
man, I'm telling
for
you.
Me, I don't... When I don't really drive, really think about, like, theme and what's marketable.
Well, I mean,
just think about making an interesting
I'm
game.
Not trying
yeah.
to sound like somebody
yeah.
who's just like, I'm just making games to sell out. I mean, I would never want to make a game that wasn't fun for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm
yeah.
not saying
right,
that.
No,
yeah,
no,
right.
I just want
yeah.
to be clear that that wasn't what I was saying. I was curious, because we don't necessarily want to self-publish, but we've both agreed that we would probably try it through Kickstarter, because,
yeah.
I mean, we know people that have done it successfully, and, you know,
right.
obviously it's easier when you have the back, not easy, but easier when
right.
you have the backing of a company who's done successful Kickstarters, right? I mean,
right.
that certainly makes a difference.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, you
definitely.
Know, I mean, when Jason Kutarski got signed on to Dice Hate Me to do...
Yeah.
Great Heartland Hauling. I mean, there was probably a pretty good level of comfortability he had with the fact that his Kickstarter was going to get funded.
Sure.
By a long, you know,
sure.
by a lot. And
yeah.
it already has been funded, and
right.
they're already
yeah.
almost 5,000 overfunded. So, you know, that's...
Yeah,
yeah
I think I would add to that, and just this discussion as a whole, is, I mean, like I said, you know, I like design games because I really like the process of designing games.
Yeah.
But I think part of what goes into that is considering your audience. You know, you're not designing games in a vacuum. I mean, like you said, your audience is, in some ways, is yourself. You know, you want to design games that you like.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes also thinking about a theme with a broader appeal is like, you know, like I want to design a game. Like when I'm designing a game, I'm thinking about like, what is this going to make people feel like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and wanting a game that's wanting to do a theme that's going to connect with people, you know, that's going to, you know, get to them, you know, not a game that like nobody's going to care about.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. It, well, you know, so with Damsels in Distress that I was talking about, I mean, it's, you know, I was fighting with that same internal feeling that Jason was talking about, that, you know, I want to make something that people will find interesting, but, you know, I also really want to make sure it's a game that I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cartoony themed. I mean, I freaking love Dudley Do Right, and I'm a little embarrassed to admit it. But I don't know if you've seen Dudley Do Right cartoons recently. It's a funny freaking cartoon. I mean, Brendan Fraser live action movie? No. Like, original Brocky and Bullwinkle style, Dudley Do Right, that is a funny ass show. Okay? And so just this idea of just this dumb hero with a giant chin
mm-hmm.
going to save the fair lady in trouble from Sidley Whiplash, that... Man, I just love old cartoons like that. I love the silliness of that. And that was kind of what I wanted to capture. That's what got me excited. And so
that's
what I
great.
Want to translate in with the game.
Right.
And I'm trying to do that. I mean, hopefully I'm getting there with it. But I honestly think most people these days don't give a crap about Dudley Do Right. You know? So that makes me nervous.
No, I think that, I mean, I don't know anything about it, I'll be honest. But
sure.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it can be fine. It can be a great game. I mean, I think, I guess what, I mean, for me, and I think advice that I would give is don't force it. Don't force something that doesn't
fit
because this, I need to make a game about this because this is what's marketable right now. And that's kind of what my comment about, like, once you kind of get to a certain point in your game, then take a look at it as a totally abstract game. Again, making sure
yeah.
that you're not forcing something.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's not going to work. I mean, I have a game that I have not worked on in months, haven't worked on since Origins. but I'm really excited to get back to it when I have time. It's called So You Want to Be a Game Designer, and it's a game about designing board games.
That's great.
And I think that's a fantastic theme. And you know what, damn it, I love that theme. And I'm a board game designer, and I think it's really, really interesting. And I think there's tons of people, gamers,
right,
strategy gamers,
yeah,
that would love that.
Yeah.
And it's a social game. And you know what? It's not ready yet. It's got a lot of development left to go. But at least initially, I've had conversations with like 10 different publishers about the game and kind of like pitched the idea. And they all like, no, that's not going to work. That's not, we can't do a theme about game design. And I'm like, you're wrong. That is a great theme, and it's totally terrific. And I don't care if you don't think it's marketable. I'm going to keep working on it because I think it's going to be a really fun game. And so that's, I mean, at least, you know, for me, for right now, that's like...
Okay. Like, well, maybe if it was a team of something else and you were trying to, like, do... What if it was a movie? What if you're trying to get a movie produced? I'm like, I don't produce movies. I design board games. That's what's interesting to me, and that's what I'm going to make a game about.
I did see a game, though, today. Where was it? Was that a game salute called We Didn't Even Play?
Oh, yeah.
Cards Against Humanity, guys, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, I haven't played it, but yeah.
But no, I just saw... And then... And like that, then they have the expansion. Like, we never played this either.
Yeah, we didn't play this either.
Yeah. Right. Brian, you were gonna say.
Oh yeah, I was just saying. Yeah, I can sympathize with that, but I'm sort of also in that other camp of like, you know, you're coming up to say something like Gen Con, where you're gonna get a chance to talk to some publishers and stuff, and it's like, you have a limited amount of time. What game are you gonna put your effort into?
Mm-hmm.
And I am definitely swayed by, like, you know, okay, there's this one design that's really meaningful to me that I really like working on, but I'm gonna put it off to the side for a little while and focus on this other thing. And you know, but that other thing is also something I'm excited about.
Right.
You know, I think it's like finding that like center of the Venn diagram where it's like things that I'm really into. And
things that other people
are really into,
things that publishers are into, that center point.
What about a game about Venn diagrams?
Love it.
I love Venn diagrams.
I do too, man. I'm a huge fan of Venn diagrams.
You could, and if you did the giant version, you could just get hula hoops. And like,
giant Venn diagram.
Giant Venn diagram game, life size of hula hoops.
So this is one of those games that like needs a lot of space to play, and so you know, multiple players, and you're supposed to hula hoop, and when you lose the hula hoop, it falls down, and then overlapping hula hoops, those people make connections.
I don't know if you have to actually hula hoop.
You don't actually have to?
I don't know, I'm not good at, I don't have hips.
I don't want that in the game. Okay,
all right. So one of the primary game mechanics is your ability to hula hoop.
Yeah, it's a dexterity game, for sure.
Well, a dexterity game. Did you guys see Flower fall out there on the floor?
No.
I'm looking at I might be going home with Flower Fall.
We bought it.
I'm going to not buy games at Gen Con.
We bought it. It's because it's a board game, or it's a tabletop game that requires dexterity. Mm-hmm. The main mechanic is gravity. And it's just what you're doing is basically you're dropping cards from like eye level down to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how they land, they create like interlocking planter boxes and stuff, and then you get points for having green leaves in areas that are controlled by your certain color flowers. Okay. And so, you know, it kind of depends on how you drop it, where you drop it, any wind that might be blowing in the room to take it off course, and how, you know, the unpredictability of that stuff flying through the air. It was a really neat idea.
I think that's great.
Yeah, totally unlike anything I've seen before.
Yeah.
Real, real simple, and I got a real kick out of it. So Venn diagrams. What if you're dropping? What if you have translucent colored discs? You know, maybe 3 inches in diameter, and you're dropping those, and then overlapping translucent.
Trying to make Venn diagrams.
It took too long for me to get to that.
Though. Yeah,
I did. Because I had to explain Flowerball first.
I can't get over the hula hoop first. I can't. I don't really hula hoop. Although I keep imagining something that's sort of like an icebreaker game that you'd play at like a work retreat or something, like something that like nobody's into.
Everybody's like,
like, put one foot here and another foot.
Though I will say, you in your talking about Flowerfall and how, you know, you never know with the wind blowing how things could fall. Now I really have an idea in my mind that I want to design a game called Chaos Theory. It's like, like the butterfly flaps its wings, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sounds kind of awesome.
Yeah, Flowerfall. I taught in an after school program for like past 3 years, and it's made me a sucker for any game that like I enjoy, but I could play with an 8 year old.
Like, yeah.
And it goes up to what, like 7 players?
I think we played with 5. We played with 5.
Yeah, I don't know.
So five or six, yeah.
So this is a published. I haven't seen it. This is a published game.
Yeah, it's a Game Salute.
Game Salute,
yeah.
Oh, really?
They're demoing it pretty much all the time. Cause it's easy to demo.
Do you know who's the publisher?
Is
Game Salute Asmodee?
It is Asmodee.
Asmodee.
Yeah.
I think I'm pronouncing that right.
I think so.
Asmodee.
It's Asmodee, not Asmodee, right? Because there's like two.
Yeah.
Asmodee.
They're at the Game Salute booth. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just go over there and drop some cards.
Okay. I haven't seen it been played out. Check it out.
It's really neat, yeah. Cool. I think their booth is 1035 or something like that.
Okay, it's at the... I've been hanging out at the... Game Salute is two booths.
Yeah, it's
one's
at
like
1033. There's the one where they sell stuff, and there's one where they...
Yeah, I've been hanging out at the 20... That's
where
my DMs have been. 2035,
right?
2035,
yeah.
That's a good booth, too. We were there today. It was cool.
Yeah. No, I like that idea. I just played a game, Chevy Dodd. Do you guys know?
Yeah, I met Chevy yesterday.
His game that's published, Scallywags.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen it?
Oh, I really want to see that.
I wanted to play test it. I didn't get to.
So I played it just before I came over here, or just before dinner. And it's similar. So there's like, you know, 30 or 40 coins. And on one side, they all have a number. And then on the other side, they just have a generic, you know, all design. So you take the 30 of them, you shake them up, and you drop them on the table. And half of them land face up and half of them land face down. And so the game is about you're trying to collect the most gold, and each coin has a certain number of gold on it, but you're only allowed to pull face down coins out of the thing, and then from there you kind of like steal from other players and trade and try to figure out which of their coins are higher valued and which of, yeah. And so you try to deduce and figure out which of their coins and steal their higher valued ones and give them your lower valued ones.
Nice.
So you know overall there's 3 8s, 6 5s, 9 3s, and you can see half of them are face up. So you have some idea of what is left in the face down, but you don't know. So, but the main thing is that you start the game by dropping a pile of coins.
Wow.
Onto the
Who would have thought there'd be two games of the show for the first time ever that both involve dropping?
So, but I like that, and that's something that I would never in 100 years design. That kind of thing would never occur to me. And I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I really want to try that one.
It's like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
Scallywags.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it's quick.
Awesome. So now I need to play Scallywags. I need to play that deduction game, which was, what was it?
Divinare. I don't know. Divinare.
I think it's Divinare.
Agricola, Agricola, you know. I don't know, whatever it is.
Divinare. Remember that.
Divinare. I think it's Asmodee.
Asmodee.
Games.
I better
write
that in my phone right now, or else I'll forget.
Yeah. But I really liked it. I really liked Divinare.
All right. Ryan and Junior, come back.
Okay.
Cancel this
here.
All right. Cool. Well, thanks, guys. I really...
And you're recording. Okay, we're here at Gen Con, sitting outside the vendor hall with Matt Warden. Hi, Matt.
How you doing?
All right, and you?
I'm doing great.
How's your con been?
Oh, it's been a great time.
Yeah, tell us about the games you're showing here.
Oh, yeah, I've been part of the first Exposures playtest hall.
Okay.
Brought two prototypes with me. One's called Magistrate. It's a medieval strategy game where you are having to manage your resources, your empire.
Okay.
The king's going to be appointing a new magistrate soon, so he wants to see who the best leader is. So.
Right on.
Yeah, the other one is actually a sequel to Jumpgate, which was my game that I had out a couple years ago.
Okay.
So
that was called Settlers of the Jumpgate? Is that?
No, that was just called Jumpgate.
Okay.
So the new one's called Colonies of the Jumpgate.
Right.
Yep, that's the new game. And it's basically been a generation since the Jumpgate's been around, and now you're not quite smash and grab resource hunt anymore. It's more of a build up your empire, use the resources you gather to extend further, and so it's more of a established colonies and get the right collection of resources. So a little more mid-level strategy.
Excellent. Cool. And I'm sorry, the other one was
Magistrate.
Magistrate. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. What kind of mechanics do you have in these games?
With Magistrate, there's actually three different things that are going on at the same time. You've got people that you control and are your means of production. You've got militia, which take care of holding land for you and basically controlling territory. And you have agents, which can be anywhere, and they're kind of there to pester everybody else's stuff.
Okay.
So you have to spend your time and resources kind of switching between those three, and they're scored at different times.
Okay.
So you sometimes have to focus on one over the others, and so it's kind of a it would be hand management with cubes. It's basically
okay.
trying
All right.
to make sure you got the right resources and use them at the right time. So,
right on. Okay. And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was yeah. going to say, and yeah. for colonies. We're going with, instead of having a handful of cards that you use,
uh-huh.
you actually have an array of action cards, and then you're able to use them, and as you use them, they get used up, and you have to take a rest once in a while in order to basically reset those actions and use them again later. So it's
okay.
more of a, you plan out your strategy,
uh-huh.
and you lay out your cards and figure out which ones would make sense to have going forward. So.
Okay, great. And so you're running these in the first exposure playtest hall.
Right.
And that's new this year, right?
Yep, brand
yeah.
new. And my first time in a situation where somebody organized playtesting where they put players on your table.
Yeah.
I've done Proto Spiel and other designer get-togethers where everybody around the table is another designer.
Yeah.
But here, what I really like about having players is these folks have played so many games, and they're really looking at it as, how would I enjoy this game if I'm sitting down with my group?
Okay.
You know, where with designers, you're really looking at the game as a designer and saying, here's what I would do.
Yeah, okay.
So the feedback's been different than
really?
Same with designers,
yeah.
but really, really good and real solid.
Great.
Like that.
So you definitely want to do this again next year?
I would plan on doing it again, yeah.
Okay. All right. So there was a little bit of expense to get signed up for it, though, right?
Yeah. It was $150.
Okay.
But that also included GM badge. So you didn't
oh,
have
did.
To
oh.
buy a normal attendee badge, which
oh.
I didn't know.
No, I didn't know that either.
I got into it late, so I had already had my attendee badge, but that gets refunded. So
okay.
So we end right. up, you get a GM badge, which has you here for 4 days.
Yeah, well, that's
yeah.
a good bonus. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yep.
So for any of our listeners who might be thinking about doing that next year, you think it's definitely worthwhile?
I think it's worthwhile when you have a game or a couple of games that you're really ready to take that next step on.
Yeah.
Or, in the case of mine with colonies,
yeah.
the first step of, I think I have a game here, let's put it in front of some people and see what happens with it.
Sure.
But yeah, Magistrate's much further down the road, and I really just need to start tweaking some stuff. And so
right
that for folks that are in that position, I think that would be a good thing
yeah.
to do. Yeah.
Okay, great. So watch out for Magistrate. Is that coming soon?
You know what? Both of these are not published.
Not yet?
Signed,
okay, all right.
So at this point, I'm just going to be continuing to make them better and keep talking to folks and see
okay.
if anyone thinks that's a good idea.
All right, well, we'll keep our ears open,
okay.
and we'll stay in touch with you so we can let the listeners know when we get some good news.
Great.
Anything else from you, Jason?
No, I think what's the best game you think you've played at the con, or your favorite game that wasn't yours that you've run into here?
I played a lot of little games.
Sorry.
I played a lot of little games, so it's a lot of quick show me this, so I've had a lot of walkthroughs.
Right. We've done that too.
Yeah. I've got to tell you, this is going to be funny because it's me. I've got a 12-year-old girl, 9-year-old boy, so thinking of the family stuff,
yeah.
There was a game that I looked at. You roll dice and you form trains. And so for my 9-year-old son, I'm thinking this is going to be
yeah.
the perfect
awesome.
Game to put
yeah.
in front of him.
Yeah.
So that would be the one that I think is, as far as what am I going to end up purchasing, those are going to be the ones to do it.
Awesome.
So,
great. Awesome. Great. Well, I appreciate you taking time to
sure.
talk to Rob and I for just a minute here. So,
great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thanks
we really
a lot.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet.
Hey, we're back here at Gen Con standing outside the vendor hall, and we're talking to Phil Kilcrease.
Hello.
He is Fifth Street Games. Hi, Phil.
Hello, that is me. I am Fifth Street Games.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. How's the con been going for you?
It's been going all right. Getting lots of exposure. People are really excited about our next project, Jungle Ascent. People
yeah.
have been enjoying Farmageddon as well, in particular.
People including us. We tried Jungle Ascent, and we just both loved
yeah.
it. So, and Farmageddon, too. That's a great yeah. game. Backed it on Kickstarter. Really like it. So.
Well, thanks for the support on that.
Yeah. Tell us more about Farmageddon to start with.
Farmageddon is the frenetic farming game where you plant and harvest crops for fun and profit, provided your opponents let you do so. You will be planting things such as the wary squash or the sluggo corn in an attempt to harvest it on another turn to get money in your harvest pile. But there are action cards that you can use to blow each other's crops up, steal crops, things like that. So life is difficult in the land of Farmageddon.
All right, cool. And then the other one, it was Jungle Ascent. Jungle Ascent, right.
That is our next Kickstarter. It is by Brian Corman from the Board Game Designers Guild of Utah.
Okay.
It's been in development for over 10 years. It's finally
wow.
done. Yeah, it used to stretch along an entire coffee table. He's been refining it for a long time. He's finally gotten it to where it works really well on a 9x9 grid.
Yeah.
And think of it essentially, allegedly, as if it were Freeform Donkey Kong, the old arcade game,
yeah,
where you are building a network of ladders and bridges to try and scale the cliffs of Frab to claim the treasure at the top. You'll be throwing things like crushers and fireballs at each other to knock each other off the cliff, as well as using action cards to your own advantage. 20 to 30 minutes for 2 to 4 players.
Yeah,
that should be going live on Kickstarter in September or October.
September
or
October, okay.
Excellent. Yeah, and we did play that yesterday, Jason and I and my wife, and we were impressed that it's super easy to learn. Sit down and you're all set and moving in 5 minutes. And,
yes.
And it was great.
And what was funny, Rob had said when we played it, that he's like, when I first looked at this game, I thought, oh, I'm just going to build a ladder straight to the top and I'm going to win. And
no,
you did win, but it took a long time. Yeah, because, yeah, so it's... There's a lot of take that mechanic in there, and I love it.
Yeah.
The back and forth. So.
Yeah, it's fun. Now, you, in addition to being a designer, you are also the publisher. You are the whole thing, right?
I am everything, yes.
Okay. And you said that your games are not, you're not designing 100% of what you're publishing, right?
Right. I have not published a single one of my designs yet.
Oh,
actually.
You have not? Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. So what do you look for when somebody's submitting a game to you? What kind of stuff are you looking for?
I don't have too many submissions yet. Once I do take submissions, I will be looking for something that's fast to play, does have a little bit of depth to it, maybe a touch of take that, because that's what casual players like and non-gamers find familiar.
Okay. It,
from games such as Uno or Monopoly, a little less so in that, ha, I did this to you with this draw four wild, basically. So there's some level of familiarity there for people.
Sure.
And the goal of Fifth Street is to get as many people playing games as possible. So Jungle Ascent and Farmageddon both accomplished that rather well. Castle Dash and Crow in the Pitcher were more to kind of show we can publish. We have found a manufacturer. We're starting to shake out our wings, basically.
Sure, sure.
So Farmageddon and Jungle Ascent are going to be the ones that really take off, and then Castle Dash and Second Edition, I think, will be a lot smoother too.
Sure. Okay, excellent. And any favorite experiences from the con so far? Any other games that you're excited about seeing? You might not have had a chance to get away from the booth, though.
My girlfriend got me a copy of Netrunner.
Oh.
She worked some mojo, and yeah. I've been wanting that since it went out of print way back in the day. I was a player when the game originally came out by Wizards, and I am super stoked that it's out again. Other than that, it's just been seeing players' reactions both to my games and others, and the cosplay. I love it, in particular Homestuck. There's been a few trolls wandering around.
Yeah.
I saw a god tier, not Jake. Jake isn't god tier yet. I saw a god tier character from Homestuck, the webcomic, wandering around earlier. Fantastic. A lot of fun.
Right on. Right on.
So you said do you not take submissions for game designers, or do you just not get that many at this point?
I am starting to get submissions. I'm not actively accepting them yet. I'm taking the Mercado approach where I actively look for other designs. Because one of my talents is seeing the spark in something, and even if it's a moderate to really good seller, I can usually spot that. That's my talent. Spotted Red November before it really took off, Castle Panic, because I work at a game store in Salt Lake as well. Games like that, and just like those were two of our best sellers when they first came out, and I'm the one that spotted them. So
great.
I hit it with Farmageddon, I hit it with Jungle Ascent. Castle Dash is all right, but it's not as smooth as the other two.
Okay.
And I am the developer for the current state of it, so I will admit that it's not as smooth playing as the others. It's still a lot of fun,
sure.
But yeah. And then Crow in the Pitcher is a convention game. You got to play it in order to enjoy it.
Gotcha.
And that one's by Sean McDonald, the guy who did Pastiche by Griffin Games.
Yeah, sure.
It's a lot of fun, but you kind of got to play it. It's a trick-taking game like Hearts or Spades,
okay,
with a couple of twists.
Got it.
Cool.
Okay. All right, I think we're all set. So everybody should check out Farmageddon and watch for Jungle Ascent Kickstarter coming soon.
It's going to rock.
All right. And we'll definitely stay in touch with you and let our listeners know when that is available.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
All right. Awesome. Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it, and have a good rest of the con.
You guys too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, this is Rob. I'm here with Jason. We're doing a little follow-up interview to our big-time Gen Con experience. And on the line with us here, we have Jason Katarski. He is the designer of the Great Heartland Hauling Company. Hi, Jason.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Our pleasure. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm just enjoying a quiet evening at home.
Hey, you can't beat that. We wanted to talk to you real quick about Great Heartland Hauling Company because you're coming up toward the end of your Kickstarter right here, right?
Yeah, we have 9 days left as of when we're recording this, so it's crunch time.
All right, and it looks like you've already hit your goal, but you still got some great bonuses coming up in the future, right?
Yeah, you know, like we're at just over 19,000 right now. Our goal was 10,000, which we hit in 8 days, and wow. At 15,000, we added an expansion, so everybody gets this cool expansion in the box. Truck stops that kind of allow players to have different new abilities that they can kind of use to pick up and deliver their goods with, and kind of break some rules. Yeah. And at 22,500, everybody gets upgraded to truck equals. They're wooden trucks that just are gonna look awesome. So I'm really hoping that we can squeeze that out and get some more wood in that box, you know?
Yeah, tell me about it.
And we saw what they looked like on the Kickstarter. I mean, they truly look like a meeple in the shape of a semi. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I couldn't be more pleased with the work just that Chris Kirkman has done from the game's coming out with Dice Hate Me Games. So Chris is the artist, you know, and him and Sherilyn run the company. But Chris is just like, wow, like his design work on everything, the components, the just the feel of the game has added so much to kind of my original ideas. I'm really looking forward to how it's all gonna end up once it gets in people's hands and ends up on people's playing tables.
And we had an awesome time playing it at Gen Con.
Yeah, we really did. Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you a little bit about Gen Con and how it went for you. Can you tell us what was your favorite thing about the show? What stood out the most to you?
There was, I had been to Origins the last 2 years, and that was the first big con that I had ever been to, and it was awesome to me. I thought that was a spectacle until I walked in to Gen Con this year for the time. Just the size of it and the energy of the place. You know, I took a break, and my break ended up being about an hour and a half, and I just walked that main exhibit hall. Didn't even really stop to see everything, you know, up close. Just kind of cruising to see what was there. And it took me an hour and a half to get from one side of the hall to the other. So it was just like, I am surrounded by my people and it is good, you know?
No, I know myself, Jason, I easily take 4 trips through the vendor hall to really get a good kind of, you do that opening sweep and then you'll go back through and you'll stop at some places and then do it again. And I think every day I hit the vendor hall for at least a while because it's just so.
And you find something new every time that you go through.
Yeah, you'll be like, I didn't see that booth. How did I not see that booth? It was right there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is my 6th year, and every year it's impressive all over again.
It's totally cool. I think that the biggest thing I learned after Origins was don't spend too much money and come home with so much stuff that you're not going to play it again. You know, so I really scaled it back. Luckily, I was busy working at the Game Salute booth where we were demoing Heartland Hauling, but, you know, I only came home with 3 games. They're the ones that really stood out to me that I knew that I was going to get home and play within a few days with my wife to kind of share that experience with her. So, like, yeah, it's big, but discipline was a huge, huge part of it for me this year.
That's really funny you say that because, I mean, I learned discipline myself in the past, but this is the first year that my wife went with me for the whole time, and she didn't have that same discipline, so we came home with 12 new games.
Awesome. Yeah, bring the rookie along, and you get a little bonus out of it yourself.
Right, yeah.
Jason, what 3 games did you buy? I'm curious.
Oh, yeah. I bought Smash Up, which was, I sat down and played that with Chris Kirkman when we had a little bit of time in between some demos, just a 2-player game, and I thought it was a lot of fun. I was a little nervous because I'm generally skeptical just that the fantasy-type stuff doesn't really sit as well with me and the people I play with, and the amount of reading on the cards, you know, feels a little magic-y to me, so I had an experience with Magic in high school, and we broke up. So I see words. I'm reminded of that relationship. But, it was light enough and quick enough. And, I mean, it's super cool to be able to play, you know, with wizards and robots, you know, at the same time. So just the combining those cool kind of fantasy elements for a light, fun game was a really cool experience for me. And then my wife loved it, too, which I thought for sure she would hate it, but she enjoyed it.
Well,
so
that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I picked up, I also got Grant Rodiak's Farmageddon, which was a fun, I played it with him. A little bit of Take That, a little bit more Take That than I normally go for as well. I'm a pretty non-confrontational guy when it comes to gaming, but it was light, silly fun, and the game looks great, and it played just the right amount of time that I thought it was worth picking up. And then the third one that I got was a little game called The Crazy Creatures of Dr. Gloom from Stronghold Games, and it was they brought that over. Or published it in partnership with White Goblin from the Netherlands. And it's a quick little game by the dude who did Zuloretto, Michael Schacht, I think. I'm not really sure how to say it, but
right.
Kind of a traditional card game with a theme pasted on, but super fun little game. There's these four different monsters, these machines. You're putting these monsters in, which are really just the four different suits. And you can either... they have a plus on one side of those machines and a minus on the other side. So you can play a card of the matching color as long as you're going higher than the next card if it says plus. And then if you play the same card that somebody else played, like if there's a 5 on there and you play a 5, you can either choose to flip that card to a minus and then start playing down, or you can give one of your opponents an extra card. And the goal is just to go out of your hand, get rid of your card first. So it's one of those, like, plays in, you know, 5-10 minutes. You can play 10 rounds in an hour session and have a lot of fun with it. Very portable and a great little tin that had some really great artwork. So that was kind of a surprise to me, like a little extra bit of fun that I stumbled on that I'm really enjoying.
Cool, yeah. I hadn't heard of that, but that sounds great.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, check it out. It's really, really cute. The monsters are adorable.
Okay, yeah, we certainly will. Now, you said you spent a lot of time at the Game Salute booth, and that was running demos of Heartland, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How'd it go? How was the response?
You know, I didn't really know what to expect because, the Kickstarter was already going well, and I figured, okay, this will be fun just to kind of see if people are interested. Maybe we can get some new people hooked, but when people walked by, like, I had this stream of people, like, the whole time I was there. I was only there Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
And as people walked by, like, a lot of people would come up and say, hey, I've been waiting to see this. No, and I'm like, what? You've heard of this? You've heard of my game? Or somebody's like, yeah, you know what? I was thinking about backing it, but I really want to play it so I can kind of decide if it's going to put me over the edge or not. And then I heard from a lot of backers, too. So, like, I was just really impressed by how well, like, Dice Hate Me and their tribe, you know, had already kind of gotten the word out about the game. So that was really exciting to me because I felt like I'm just this little guy who just got lucky and got this game, you know, signed with a cool company that I was really respecting and doing really good stuff. And before I know it, like, a bunch of people know about my game. So, you know, there's only really a handful of people that when I asked them the question, hey, have you heard about Heartland Hall? And they're like, they said no. And most of them, I said, hey, sit down and play with me and tell me what you think. You know, I didn't get a lot of negative feedback. You could tell there was a few people who would just like, hey, you know, I'm a 12-year-old girl and I have fairy wings on and trucking isn't really my thing.
fair enough.
But the response was great. I met a lot of great people who seemed really enthusiastic. So it was super encouraging. I almost didn't go. But I'm really glad I did because we came back from that weekend at Gen Con and after some, you know, kind of normal low to average days on Kickstarter, we had a few days that just, you know, kind of rocketed up, you know, back up to like 15 copies a day or 15 new backers a day for a few days. So it was exciting to kind of see the difference it made going to Gen Con. And I think we kind of made the right decision to squeeze it in, even though it was for a short time.
Yeah. That's good. It's cool that you were able to do that for the backers that you know, they might have heard about it or read about it online, and then if they were going to the show, that they were able to sit down and try it with you. That was really good timing on your part, I would say.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll chalk it up to luck, you know, that it just worked out that way. But yeah, the Kickstarter happened to be running during, you know, the biggest convention for tabletop games in the U.S. You know, like,
yeah,
let's go. It's 5 hours from my house, and it was neat because those backers that came and played it, so many of the people that I met now have kind of become evangelists for me. You know, like, after having been able to play it, they're starting to share it with more people now. So before it was an idea or a video or a review that turned them on to it, and now they're all in and helping us out, and it's awesome just to be a part of that tight knit community where people are kind of making each other's dreams come true and helping, you know, get the word out about games. Know, for different publishers, games they like, and for their friends. So it's a cool thing.
Yeah, it is. And I should say, I mean, Jason and I are we're both evangelists for you as well. I mean, we love it to death. We're real excited about it. I wanted to ask, the last question we had here for you is, I mean, what do you think is the best part about Heartland? I mean, what's really what makes it unique for you?
You know, I get there's a couple things for me. So at its core, it's a simple hand management pick up and deliver game that's based with trucks, you know, based on trucks and trucking around agricultural goods, livestock and produce, rather than a train game, you know, that is normal pick up and deliver kind of a game that you're going to see in the market. So it's just simplified version of that. But the thing that really stands out to me that I think makes it really unique is that the whole game is made of cards. So, and there's a few bits, you know, there's the cargo cubes that come with it and the trucks that you're moving around. But the board is made of cards that can be shuffled, and it's a modular board, so the board is different every time. And then you have the deck of cards that are your goods and your fuel that you're using to move around and pick stuff up and get stuff delivered to make money. But it's because it's just cards, I feel like we have crammed a lot of game into a small package. You know, if it would have came with a board, you know, this would have been a $50 game, you know, but you know, the retail price is, you know, the $20, you know, mark. So I feel like it's a lot of games. It's a place, you know, 2 to 4 players, and it comes in that little package that you can throw in your backpack and take around with you. And the amount of replayability is the other thing for me. That, like I said, the board is different every time you're going to play. Now with the expansion, the truck stop upgrades, that's going to make the game different. And the board itself, the locations that you're traveling to and from are these double-sided cards. So there's an advanced game where you can flip over a few of the docks, and they're going to have these extra features, like a road dock, where you just can't go that way off of one of these locations. It shuts it down, or a toll booth where you have to pay if you want to cross that line, or a weigh station where if you have a certain amount of goods already in your trailer, you're going to have to either go another way, or you're going to have to pay a penalty. So it adds just more replayability. We have several variants that have been included in the rule book, and some more stuff that will probably end up online. So, you know, a lot of game in a little box with lots of replayability, and it's quick to learn to play it, and it plays in 30 to 45 minutes. So those are all things that are important to me as a gamer. So I'm glad that I managed to somehow stumble onto those as I was designing and create a game that fit those bills, I guess.
Awesome. And one of the things I know Rob and I commented on was it's so compact. You're right.
Yeah.
And that's really cool that you can have basically a whole map in a very small area on the board, yet it doesn't feel too tight. You know what I mean? It felt like you could still move around well. I mean, it was, I really liked that it was compact. I mean, it's an easy game you can take with you anywhere and play at a, you can play that on an end table if you needed to.
Yeah.
That's just been a really kind of cool feature for me, is just to be able to take it to the coffee shop and play it on the smallest table you can find and have a decent experience.
Yeah. Well, hey, Jason, we really want to thank you so much for talking to us tonight. We appreciate it. We love the game. We're huge fans. We're so happy for you too. You're such a success story.
Yeah, you know, thanks so much for having me on the show, and excited about what you guys are doing, kind of making this whole thing about game design a little bit more accessible by being some guys that are going to talk about making games, you know, take some of the mystery out of it for people. And hey, I think that more games and more people throwing their ideas into the hat is only going to make us have to be more creative as designers, and you know, the gamers are going to benefit. There's going to be more ideas out there. So yeah, thanks for what you guys do, and thanks for taking the time to share about my game, the Great Heartland Hauling Company.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We appreciate that. So Great Heartland Hauling Company, check it out on Kickstarter for the listeners. This episode is posting on Wednesday the 29th.
Yep.
And your Kickstarter ends on?
September 6th.
September 6th. So everybody's got about a week left to pledge, to back the project. Get in there. It's well worth your time. It's well worth your money. You're going to love it. Can't recommend it enough. Thanks again, Jason, so much.
Thank you, guys.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.